Can we talk? Did you know that if you, as a born-again believer, died and stood before the living God, and if he could find just one particle of sin in your life, then in his eyes, you would be as guilty as the guiltiest sinner that ever lived? Because the Bible says that sin is the breaking of the law, or sin is a transgression of the law. And it also says, if you broke the law in one point, then you are guilty of all. Therefore, if just one sin is found in your life, God looks upon it as just as if you had committed all the sins in the book. For if you're guilty of one sin by breaking the law in one point, the Bible says that you are guilty of all. Therefore, if you stood before the living God and he found just one particle of sin in your life, then did you know that you would be destined for a devil's hell? Because the Bible says that no one who is defiled can enter into the kingdom of heaven, and that one sin would defile you in the eyes of God, because you wouldn't be holy. Because to be holy means to be without sin. And if one sin is in your life, then you are defiled in the sight of God. So I ask you the question as a born-again believer. Do you, right now, do you have any sin in your life? Remember that one particle of sin bars you from heaven's gate. So, do you as a born-again believer have any particle or taint of sin in your life? I'm James Wharton, and this is Have You Heard the Good News? Most born-again Christians don't even have the slightest notion of what God did with our sins. They don't understand it, and you can tell them by the way they pray. You can tell it by the way they minister unto others. You can tell it by almost every facet of their life. Most Christians don't even have the slightest comprehension or slightest notion of what God has did with their sins. The Bible says that their iniquities and their sins I will remember no more. If you are a born-again believer, then you don't have any sin in your life as far as God is concerned. Because if you had just so much as one sin in your life, then you could not spend an eternity with God. Because nothing or no one who is not as perfect as he is, or nothing or no one who is not as righteous as he is, nor nothing nor anyone who is not as holy as he is, may spend eternity with him. You have to have his divine nature in order to spend eternity with him. And if you have experienced the new birth, then you have his divine nature in you. And his divine nature is an eternally sinless nature. And this eternally sinless nature was born into our hearts by faith when we received the gospel. And the gospel is nothing more than this, that God so loved us that he gave Jesus Christ for us, that if we believe on Jesus, that he died for our sins and rose again, then we should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have to experience the new birth in order to get his divine nature in us. And the new birth is not when your eyes roll back into your head and you think you have some religious experience. That's nothing but a delusion of the flesh. For the new birth is a quiet process. It's simply Jesus Christ being born into your hearts by faith. The new birth has nothing to do with your flesh. For the Bible says that which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And the only part of you which is born of the Spirit is not your soul. Your soul was not born of the Spirit. The only part of you, the born again Christian, which was born of the Spirit, is the Christ in you, the hope of glory. For the Bible says that whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, if you took that scripture literally, it says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Therefore, everybody is going to hell. if you took that scripture literally with your carnal understanding of it. That's why the Bible says we are not to lean into our own understanding, but we are to compare scripture with scripture and find the mind of Christ on this matter, and not lean into our own carnal mind's understanding, because our carnal minds cannot understand the things contained in the scripture, because it cannot discern spiritually, because our carnal mind exalts itself against the knowledge of God. The only part of a born-again believer which was born of God is the Christ in them, the hope of glory. And the Bible says that whosoever is born of God cannot and does not commit sin. Therefore, the only part of a born-again believer that does not and cannot commit sin is the Christ in them, their hope of glory, which is born into their hearts by faith. Now, we all must remember, and many preachers forget to tell their congregations this, we all must remember that we have an evil nature in us. It's called the flesh. And the Bible says that the flesh, Romans 7:25, look at it for yourself, Romans 7:25 says that even after we're born again, that our flesh is not changed. Our flesh continues to serve the law of sin. We are weak through our flesh. In our flesh dwells no good thing. The Bible says the flesh profits nothing. The flesh wars against the Spirit of Christ, which is born into our heart as that new creation. Our flesh, the old man, wars against the new man in us. This is the war which is taking place in our members. Our flesh serves the law of sin, while the Spirit of Christ in us, our new creation, serves the law of God. And the Spirit of Christ in us is joined unto our soul. And the Bible says that whosoever is joined unto the Lord is one spirit with him. And our souls have been joined unto the Lord as a new creation. Our souls are not born of God. Our souls were breathed of God. Remember, the Bible says that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Our souls were breathed of God, not born of God. Our souls were breathed of God and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. No man's soul is born of God. Our souls were breathed of God and redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The only part of us, the born-again Christian, which does not commit sin and cannot commit sin, is the Christ in us, our hope of glory. That divine nature sent from God into our hearts, and he dwells in there by faith. It's a divine nature. It's just as righteous as God is righteous. It's just as holy as God is holy. It's just as sinless as God is sinless. Therefore, the Bible can state boldly in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, that Jesus Christ is our life. If you are a born-again Christian, which means if you have experienced a new birth, and the new birth is when Christ is born into your hearts by faith, when you believe that he died for your sins and rose again, if you've believed that, then Christ was born into your hearts by faith, and then Jesus Christ became your life. Colossians 3:4 says, repeat after me, Christ is our life. Christ is our life. Therefore, is there any sin in a born-again believer's life? No, why not? Because it is written, Jesus Christ is our life, and in Christ is no sin at all. And we are in Christ. We have been translated out of the kingdom of this world and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. The Bible says that our life is hid with Christ in God. Hidden from what? Our life is hid from the world, because the world would taint it with sin if it was possible. Our life is hidden from our own fleshly nature, because our own fleshly nature serves the law of sin, and this world lies in wickedness, and both of those two opponents would oppose that divine nature in us. And the third thing which our life is hid from is not only the world nor the flesh, but our life is hid from the devil. Because if it were possible, he would strip our eternal life from us. Where is it hid at? It's hid with Christ in God, for Christ is our life. Therefore, is there any sin in the born-again believer's life? No, absolutely not. For the Bible says that Christ is our life. Well, I'm sure some would beg to differ with me, and they will quote 1 John chapter 1, verse 10. It says, If we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we must remember that Jesus Christ was made manifest to take away our sins. Jesus Christ has taken away our sins. Many believers won't let him do his job. They think that he took away some of their sins. No, the Bible says that he was made manifest to take away all of our sins. You see, when Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, he paid for future sins. He paid for the sins that you commit today. He paid for the sins that you committed yesterday. He's already paid the price and the penalty for sins that you're going to commit on tomorrow. The Bible says that he was made manifest to take away our sins. He died for our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ suffered the penalty for all sins that would ever be committed. The Bible said that one offering was made for sin, and it was Jesus Christ. He offered himself by the sacrifice of himself upon the cross. He made himself that one and only sin offering. And the Bible says that his sin offering was once and for all. He's not going to come back down here and shed new blood so you can get fresh blood to get fresh forgiveness for fresh sins you commit. No. The Bible says there is only one sin offering, and that was when Jesus Christ offered his life as an offering for sin. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ was upon the cross, that he that knew no sin was made sin. On the cross, Jesus Christ was made sin that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says on the cross he was made sin. And the Bible says that he was bruised for our sins and iniquities upon the cross. It pleased the Father to bruise him. He paid for the penalty of our sins. We don't pay for them. The Bible says that God is not judging us according to our iniquities or rewarding us according to our sins. He's not rewarding us according to our sins or judging us according to our iniquities. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was rewarded for our sins and punished for our iniquities. As it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions and he was bruised for our iniquities. And did you know that if you had to get fresh forgiveness for your sins that you commit every day, if that one sin offering wasn't enough, then you would have to have fresh blood from Jesus to get your sins forgiven, because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. You would have to have the sinless sacrifice. And the Bible says that you would have to have Jesus Christ to come down here and die for you over and over and over again so that you could get fresh blood to give unto God for fresh forgiveness for your sins. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And the Bible says in Hebrews 9:26 that if you had to give fresh blood to get fresh forgiveness from your sins you commit every day, it would have to be from Jesus, because the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it for you. And if that were to be so, then the Bible says that Christ would have had to suffer often from before the foundation of the world. But now he's only suffered once to put away sin forever by the sacrifice of himself. He has put away your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins, and he has given you a life. He is giving you a life. He is giving you his life, his divine nature, his sinless life, so that when you stand before God, you won't have a particle of sin in your life, because Christ is your life, and in him is no sin at all. So when the born-again Christian sins, should they ask for forgiveness? No. For Hebrews 1:7 says, we have redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins through his blood. And Hebrews 9:12 says that Jesus Christ obtained eternal redemption for us, which means the eternal forgiveness of sins through the blood of Jesus. Remember, God is not charging sin to the born-again believer. For sin is not imputed where there is no law, according to Romans 5:13. Therefore, God took us out from under the law and put us under grace, so he couldn't charge sin against us. So when the born-again Christian sins, should he ask for forgiveness? No, he already has forgiveness. He should merely repent. Repent does not mean to ask for forgiveness. Repent means simply to turn in the opposite direction and align yourself with the Word of God. I'm James Wharton, and this is Have You Heard the Good News?